So nice.
Happy Shivaratri in 6 days.
What's that?
Shivaratri is on Saturday.
Shiva Prasad. Anyhow. So there it is. Next Saturday. Om Shri Sache Maha Prabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Sacha Sangha Ki Jai. So, Shivaratri is next Saturday, huh? Om Namah Shivaya. 1,000 times more potent, every single mantra 1,000 times more potent on Shivaratri night than any other night of the year. And that's what they say in India. And the whole world's chanting Om Namah Shivaya, 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 all day, all night, 24 hours. And they're all getting a little tipsy. Shiva Prasad, bang. Is that right? Primo, are you there?
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes.
Conversation. Okay, we'll do something on Shivaratri. Om Namah Shivaya.
World. Maybe we can be there next year.
Oh yeah, we're going to be there next year. We'll probably be there right before Shivaratri. And I don't think I'll stay until the flag raising. And it could be, most likely will be, the last time ever. Yeah. People are going to India. They're enjoying India. So they don't need me in India. India is of its own accord and its own energy. We'll just go and say thank you for everything that you gave, which was tremendous. Just the Ganges alone. What a place, unbelievable. The other day, I was speaking with someone and I asked them, I said, do you ever get kind of tired or of hearing me speak about the Dharma? Do you ever tire of that? And it was on Skype, and they messaged back, the same person never steps into the same river twice. And I thought, yeah, yes, that's absolutely true. And it started reflecting for me this great old Zen pronouncement, this statement, and probably India as well, because Buddha was not a Hindu reformer, but he was a reformer. I don't think there was any Hinduism at that time. There was the Vedas and all other aspects of India, but I don't think it was called Hinduism at that time. When Buddha was reforming, the great Zen master's statement, the same man or woman, the same person, and the spectrum in between, never steps into the same river twice. And it began to give me also a kind of other reflection that was pulled into it. And that is the spinning mirror. And Maharaji used to call it the flickering flame. And the same person never steps into the same river twice. You know, this is such a magnified, this is like looking at life with a microscope to really see what's there. Let's take in another great statement by the Lankavatara Sutra. Things are not as they appear to be, nor are they otherwise. So these three statements really make up the Dharma path. And I was considering, did I ever get tired of reading the Bhagavad Gita? Did I ever get tired of hearing those words, those those words that went beyond meaning, went beyond sound, went beyond structure, went beyond language, because they were like arrows pointing into a target. Never, never. And there would be times that I would read, let's say, the Shiva Sutras by Jayadev Singh, really good, if you want to have something wonderful to read. And I might read it 2 years later and completely see a different aspect of it. And I always considered that maybe when people get bored or say, oh, there's nothing new here, sometimes I hear that. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's nothing new. It doesn't have to be anything new. This is really ancient. And it's been like golden crumbs, you know, like golden breadcrumbs that mark a path. That the great souls, which you are, have followed very, very clearly, because in the dark, that's what's lit, is this path of golden crumbs that the great old masters left, and it's nothing new. Do you want something new? Are we always going trendy here? You want something like what? We could go hug shadows, or we could, what else could we do? We can deny our magnificence and try to fix it all the time. We could do that. But the old masters, they never did. They always, always accepted their magnificence. It has nothing to do with ego. Ego doesn't exist for those who have no separation. May exist somewhere, but not for that person anymore. Doesn't mean they got rid of ego, they just saw through it. The idea of separation, isolation. They didn't have to get rid of anything, it was never there. Oh, actions, yes, we've said that before. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are egoic actions. It's all over the world right now, separation, division. But there's no such thing to one who truly sees. And each opportunity to hear the teachings, if you're bored, or you're tired of hearing it, or it's just words, or I need silence. You do need silence, there's no doubt about that. So get as much of it as you can. It really means that all you hear is the words. And you have yet to conduct the experiment of what it is to move into love, what it is to be, to really understand the magnificence and uniqueness of being in a human experience. How mysterious and marvelous, how unbelievable, how unfigurable just that is. So you never step in the same river twice. I often tell people when they're here in Taradasacha, the same person is leaving this room than the one who came in. That's a fact. So every opportunity, every chance, every moment is freshly new and moving and changing quickly. And I heard something today too. that the truth hurts only when you are adhered to an idea that denies the truth. It doesn't hurt otherwise. Only when you're attempting to protect the idea that opposes truth. Mm-hmm. So truth is only painful when you have to set something aside and see clearer. It was interesting to me that truth hurts. Mm-hmm. I get that. But as soon as you're willing to set down, open your mind, open your heart, then truth may sting a little bit, but soon it'll become your amrit, it'll become your nectar, because you'll never leave it once you find it, mm-hmm. Once you cease to deny it. So the spinning mirror, this Maharaja used to call the flickering flame. And it's what in Zen, it's, now you see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't. It's not a full reflection, but it is, as Maharaja used to say, the flickering flame, not the steady flame, but the flickering flame, the one that you get these wonderful glimpses, or the hairs stand up on the back of your neck, or you can't deny the extraordinary mystery of your being. But then we go on our day, and that's natural. We go about our day and we forget it. That's natural. And little by little, or in a flash, who knows about cosmic timing, we see the mirror stops and we get a deep reflection of ourselves. And we understand that this idea of being human, I hear some people also say all these kind of terms that I'm hearing, I'm only human. What does that mean? Does that mean that, what's it mean? I don't understand that terminology. So you never are the same person walking into the same river twice. Even if you go in, go out, go in, go out, go in, go out, go in, go out, everything has changed. And there's a new and changing moment that you can say to yourself, whatever you want to say, but I would say yes to love. Mm-hmm. To release, you know, the great Chan masters who were the great and great Chan masters. If you want to read something really dynamic, the Blue Cliff Records, you can read the Blue Cliff Records. And when you begin it, you'll probably put it down and say, I'm done. The first, because it's so far out. I've asked people to read Lao Tzu's, or not Lao Tzu, Huang Po's, the Zen teachings of Huang Po, and I've never known anyone to actually finish it and actually understand it. I know. And it just is so clear and so clean. This one never walks in to the same river twice. Everything has flowed by, a new opportunity which is changing quickly is there every moment for you. Clean slate. If you really wonder about yourself, you might change the wonder to why you can't or why you don't or why you're not good enough or you're getting too old. I like that one a lot. Or, you know, nothing's ever happened. I haven't matured. Yeah, you have so much. To this being which I appear to be is the dreaming that flows out of the heart of the divine, undividable, totality, the mystery that beats my heart, that breathes my breath, that is life, is the change, is the stillness, is all things. And I am not a part of that. I am. And when we leave it as I am, we don't even have to say that. And all that is also present in the presence of I am. And that I am, which you are, remains steady through every flow of every current of every river, through all of the changes of your heart, soul, body, mind, is steady throughout all eternity, throughout all years. And everything that we experience plays upon it. And love, real true love that's not describable, that you become helpless in and guide your life. And you, helpless means I can't help it. I don't even want to love you, but I do. Why do I love you? Because I love God's creation, all of it. That is sure. And sometimes it's not sweet. Sometimes it's really difficult to sit on the moon and look back at the planet and see its beauty when there's so much chaos going on. But we know for sure that everything that goes on because it goes on. It just does. It's that simple. The spinning mirror, I see it. Ah, now I go about my day. This mirror is spinning slower. The reflection is longer. The flickering is becoming steady. Because I cannot deny any longer that I do not know what the truth is. I do not know what God is. I do not know what anything is. I cannot figure it out. And yet I am. Wow. That's already huge or small or flickering or a dip in the river. Yeah, I can't imagine tiring of hearing that your heart is actually the guru to yourself. It is the guide of your soul, of your life. And when you will permit, and you, this is something you have to permit, because you can deny it for a long time. When you permit it, I'll tell you in a minute. I'm not going to go off on it now. When you permit love and love alone to guide you. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to call. I don't know what it's going to demand of me. It's going to demand everything. That That's what's so good about it. Wasn't it Rumi who said, move along a path that demands everything from you? Because it's release. So here's the old Chan masters of Korea. They never use the word let go. I've said this before, because let go is a trend and nobody ever does it. Well, maybe they do. I shouldn't be so general in my terms. General terms are dangerous. When you gather everybody up and say it's all like this because they think like that, then you probably miss the boat. So the great Chan masters of Korea, the Zen masters of Zen masters. There's no Chan today on the planet like there was during, let's say, Bodhidharma, let's say. The Dharma has a little punch in it now. We're repairing that by the way we live. But those great Chan masters, they never said stop. They said cease. They never said let go. They said release. Because we have to release it all. Because it demands everything from us, love does. And this love is, again, I'm going to repeat, and I pray that you're understanding that a person doesn't walk in the same river twice. Maybe completely new to you, even though you've heard it before. Love is indescribable. And it's not always attractive. And it's not always warm and fuzzy. And it's not always what you want it to be. And it doesn't return what you want it to return. It is like the earth. It is like the stars. It just moves in life as it moves in life. The outflowing, dreaming of the divine mystery, I am. All what appears to be, I am, is. And there's no one, no thing, no being ever that is not that which I am present. And it has nothing to do with personal. And it has nothing to do with elevation. And it has nothing to do with anything but presence. And the dreaming of the divine mystery, which flows how in time, which appears to be time, which appears to be space, which appears to be seasons, which appears to be who I am, what I am. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't care to know anymore. I am is more than enough. There's nothing in my sadhana, Maharaji says four lifetimes. I just listen, maybe yes, maybe no. That I have ever been able to hold and say, here it is, and here's what it looks like, and here's how it sounds, and here's its name. And I have it. Never been able to do that. But love brings you not only close, but the mirror stops and the reflection is deep. And it's wordless and yet has tremendous meaning that you cannot grasp. And you're not opposed to words, and you're not opposed to hearing the teachings again and again and again and again and again. And you'll never get bored. Because this is the finest. And there are many going on. Exchanges on earth at this time. Okay. Any hands up? The same person does not walk in the same river twice. The mirror spins fast and then it slows down. I can never get tired or bored with the golden amrit coming off of the tip of the tongue of anyone who guides in love. Anyone who guides anyone to their own heart. And somehow you, the guru, or you, the teacher, or you, the mother, or you, the father, or you, the brother, or the friend, you disappear. And something happens in a person where they have a sense of themselves. This is important work at this time. Very important. Sahara, you're here. What are you here for, huh?
Namaste, Shanti Mai. I raised my little yellow hand.
I saw that.
I'm loving this conversation greatly, Shanti Mai. At a number of points in the years that I've been with you, we've had similar conversations. And even this conversation always means something differently to me.
Exactly. Like
that you share like a wonderful woven quote from one of the scriptures, these words in this order, that they are placed in time and space at that particular moment. It's when you say them, and there are inflections of voice and notice of individuation that are, I've never heard you say the same thing twice, Shanti Mai. Even if there are words that are in the same order, it just like, you know, I love the metaphor or the simile of never being able to, the same person never steps in the same river twice, because both are so shifting. But there's a beautiful stability within those specific weavings that they hold their integrity, and that they're like brush strokes in the fabric of the moment I can't even imagine saying the words, I don't want to hear that again in relation to that. By no part
there's
of
nothing new, Sahar. There's nothing new. There's nothing
new. And but also there's nothing old. Like it's really
Hello, Sahar. I'm not holding up the statement there's nothing new.
Oh.
Yeah, we're gonna trash that one right away. We just put that in the spiritual waste basket.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 We can't go for trends. We can only go for our heart and soul. And the greater, I don't know, sometimes words really do fail. But I know that everyone who is truly listening truly understands. And yes, I forgot what you said, but yes, every time it is different. That's what I mean to go to. Every time it is different, every click tick, tick, tick of the cosmic clock, which brings the seasons, which spins the earth, which hangs the stars in the heavens, which requires us to have water and air to breathe and lungs. We just look deeper and deeper and deeper, and it gets more simple. It's not more complex, you know? It's always anew, exactly as you say. I can even refer to this or remember this. In the footsteps of Maharaji, the click, 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 click of his sandals, wooden on cement, always didn't change in tone, but every time, one step, two steps, it was like the Dharma drum. You remember the Dharma drums, when they beat the Dharma drums and all the disciples come? That's what's happening now. All the Dharma drums are beating. And Maharaji's shoes, his little sandals, would really resonate through me. And sometimes it was not immediately seeing that, but maybe I would in the night hear it again somehow or reflect upon it. And the feeling that it brought, every step was new. Every step brought perhaps, let's put it this way, the mirror slowed down at those points. And reading the Shiva Sutras from Jayadev Singh, which are absolutely magnificent, I remember reading them two or three times. And sometimes something would pop right off the page at me and absolutely engulf my whole being. It didn't before. I had read that before, right? So, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Release, letting go is an old statement that doesn't work very well. You know, you remember how I used to, people would say, well, I need to let go. And I'd say, well, okay. Here's letting go. Here's not letting go. Here's letting go. Yeah, and that's the end of the process of. So the Chan masters were very wise in the way that they said things. They said release. And it gives a sense of not having to carry any longer, or not being chained in any longer, or not being bound to an idea or attached to anything. Release, perfect word. And they never said stop, because people don't stop. They said cease, like a train coming to complete on the tracks. They were great. Well, really great, anyhow.
And there was this story, Shanti Mai, of Bodhidharma, I believe it was Bodhidharma. You've spoken of him waiting for a student that would take the teachings. And he found a student that took it to the flesh, and one that took it to the muscle, and then finally found one that took it to the bone.
To the marrow of the bone.
To the marrow of the bone. And then my reckoning of that, and that my view of that is, my understanding of that, and what that's brought to me has been different through the years also. That is when the teachings brush against the ears, it becomes not so much how well you remember or how well you understand, but how does it move the life? It's that's gone right. into the marrow. You're actually acting in accordance, then you let go. You're not understanding the value of letting go. You're actually letting go.
No, you're releasing. We never let go.
Oh.
Yeah, we skip that whole terminology. unless you still need to go to a retreat about letting go. Anyhow, so I want to stay with you just for a moment longer here. He had a female disciple. He had two male disciples. The female took it to the skin. One of the males took it to the meat, and Venerable Ko took it to the marrow of the bone. He venerated each and every one of them perfectly, without measure and Venerable Ko was the second patriarch of Zen Buddhism, Bodhidharma being the first. So though the other two were not patriarchs or matriarchs, maybe the one was a matriarch. I'll have to check my matriarchal chart. Bodhidharma saw them all as what I would call God, inseparable and perfect as they are, even though it's really hard to admit that sometimes. From the moon, it's not so hard. If you take a step back, do you hear Lucy barking? No? Okay. So let me go on. Thank you very much. I appreciate the conversation very much. I'm sure that everyone does.
Namaste, Shantimai. Thank you.
Namaste, Sahara. Kay's iPhone. Oh, it's Kirk. Kirk, come on. Come on. Come on, Kirk. Come on. There you are. Yeah, your sound is not on, Kirk.
How's that?
That's better.
We got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I always have to refer to a most treasured thing here. So when you were speaking of the Chan masters, I go back to this page 13. It says, whether favorable or adverse conditions are present, or whether you have temporarily quieted the mind's conceptual discrimination. And so these last few words is where, and what I have underlined, when you suddenly topple the key link, there'll be no mistake about it.
Yeah. So what are you reading there?
This was something that you suggested, I believe, the last time I was with you in India, but
well, what's the name of it?
Swampland Flowers.
Oh, one of the greatest. Yeah,
I mean, I've gone through this thing like 10 times. I had this quiet period, and I read it over and over and over again, and then, but what is it? Do I decide to leave? Or what is it that?
The only thing that you can do is resist.
Resist. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing that you can do. When you cease to resist, you'll be carried.
Fantastic.
By your own heart and soul and your own, I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to use it here. I don't care for it at all. But through your own divine authority, and you just read something that says, "I cannot deny it. It is evident. It is evident. I cannot deny it. The reflection is deep. It takes me." It's going to take you anyhow. What are people afraid of? Afraid of being what? Stop being silly, or stop being, are people afraid of releasing fear? Of what? You know, when you realize whatever, I don't know what it means. I don't know how fast the mirror spins or how slow it goes. When you realize, you see that that was always so. You haven't made it so. That has always been the way it is. So you just see that, and you can't deny it. And not only do you see it in yourself, and it doesn't become like a big chair or a kind of trophy. You see it everywhere, and you can't miss it in anyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, just like you can't miss seeing a dream as a dream. You just can't deny it. You want to deny it because there's some really nasty people on the planet, but you can't any longer. And it's not because they're not still nasty, it's because you see differently. And you have not become the fool. You have left the ship of fools, and the ship of fools are also God without question. And what you see in yourself is also in them immeasurably, whether they realize it or not. Yeah. So that's a beautiful statement you just brought out.
Through all the stories in that text, it all came down to that one last sentence.
We'll let it eat you up and spit you out.
It does. It did, for sure. It definitely been. Yeah.
Spit it out until I was tasteless. But probably still going on, chewing up and spitting out. I don't see any end to it. I don't see any arrival. I don't see anything that insinuates to me that anyone arrives other than where they've always been. And it sounds very contradictory. It sounds like a dichotomy, but it's not. When you sit in the center of that, this and that, this and that, are just this and that, nothing more. We have to rise above the this and that of this world right now so that we live in the way that we feel that people on earth could live in a really marvelous way with each other without controlling them or telling them what they have to do, because they respect each other, because they care for each other, because they view God in the heart and soul of everyone and know that the destiny of everyone is impermanence on this earth. Is the destiny of everyone impermanence? Is the destiny of everyone breath? Is the destiny of everyone heartbeat? Is the destiny of everyone food? We rarely, at this time, we rarely see what is accurate for all of us. I've seen some very spiritually mature people split their heart because of ideology. And I just wonder why they bother. You're going to have to, at one time or another, just release that too. I wouldn't let anything get in the way of my heart for you, my love for you. I don't care what you think, how you do it, I would never. That's a commitment. I may be challenged, I'm sure. I will never judge anyone by the way they think. I mean, most of what people think is absolute shitty little garbage. Well, it is.
True.
Well, everybody has to admit it or not. Maybe you don't have to admit it, but if you looked at your thoughts, you would want to release them as soon as possible.
Yeah.
What you gonna do without the drama? Go fishing.
Well, I in a way, the fishing has brought me into mountains of the drama. And then in so doing,
But we're talking about. I'm talking about a reel and a hook and a worm. You're talking about another kind of fishing.
Well, you know, fishing is has been my passion. It's, you know, it never, for a while, I would fish to catch a fish, but then it became, I went to fish not to catch a fish, and if I did, fine.
Yeah. Well, you should. I used the word should.
Uh-oh.
I know. You hold on to that, what you just said, because that's very, very simple, revealing, and deep.
Here, where I have been lately, we have this very clear, it's a spring fed, one of the only spring fed lakes in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And through my fishing endeavors, other than fishing, there was a moment, and it was the last time, I don't know, almost 2 years ago. And I knew that what I had envisioned was not going to be. And I took my fishing boat out onto this very clear spring-fed lake. And I went out to the spot, and I knew the day before the fish were all over the place. I could see them. They were there. Catch and release, maybe, you know, a couple for food, whatever. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go back out there today. And I went out to the same spot. There was not one fish in sight. And I sat knowing that the sun was going down, and I became in this very calm place, and I put my hand in the water, and there was no fish to be seen on my fish scanner, and I was completely fine with it. And I took my hand, and I immersed it in the lake, and I touched it, and I said, and I in the moment, I had so much gratitude for what that body of water had brought to me. It, in a way, it brought this depth of connection, although it's, you know, it's a lake, but
hold on.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm going to put this in your heart. There is no such thing as disconnection. With whatever you perceive throughout your life, it's not possible . The word connection is a misnomer, unless you're talking about putting a boat on a hook on the back of your car. But even then, there's no such thing as disconnection. You can never be disconnected, no matter what you're perceiving. You know, I'm going to go here soon because satsang needs to be complete. But what you have said to me about the river, first off, I would say that the fish graced your day. And I remember the first time that I realized there could be no disconnection as I was laying back in a lounge chair by myself on Lost Creek in Oregon, off of Rattlesnake Road. And I was laying, looking at the Douglas fir, and the sun was coming through, and it was very beautiful. It was kind of sparkling. And my finger touched a blade of grass. And the whole world and the whole universe and God and all of its beings, or all the mystery, was right there. And touching that blade of grass with the finger, there was never the idea ever of disconnection again. Or connection. It just didn't work. It's whole and total always, whatever it is.
So that was the moment that it was whole and total, and it was in gratitude and it was reverent.
Now I'm going to end this, but you go back to that sentence that you read to me and reflect of what you just said, and you'll know exactly what was meant by those last few words. You've just elaborated them. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Love you too.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you. It was beautiful, beautiful what you brought. Beautiful what you brought to satsang. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, so let us put Premo together here. I think Premo's going to chant for us one more chant. Is that true, Premo? I don't think your sound's on.
There. Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Namah Shivaya.
Hare Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare Hare, Hare Shiva, Shiva Hari Om. Hari Om Shiva Om Shiva Om Hari Om Hare 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 Shiva Shiva Hari Om Hari Om Shiva Om Shiva Om Hari Om Hare 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 Shiva
Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om. Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare 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 Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare 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 Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare 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 Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare 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 Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare 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 Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om, Hare 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 Shiva, Shiva Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Shiva Om, Hari Om.
Thank you, Prema.
I love you.
Gosh, I'm just going through the gallery and it's just beautiful seeing everybody. Just wonderful. I just love to go through the gallery. Mm-hmm. So I will say to you, thank you. And thank you for being present, because you create an atmosphere for this Zoom satsang. We've been with the Zoom satsang for a long time. It's held our sangha together. I'm very grateful for it. And none of us thought it would work or even be interesting, but it's turned out to be very, very wonderful. And your presence, I'm just very grateful for your presence and to know you and to love you. You too, Gogo. Namaste, everyone. Don't look so doubtful. Namaste.